Just that my voice is quite croaky, so please do forgive me if by the end of the sermon we're kind of at this level. Let me pray and then we'll start. Father, thank you so much for the gift of your word. Thank you so much that you are the King who provides for your people. Father, would you please stir our hearts today as we look at John 6 together. Amen. Now, it'd be really helpful just to begin with if I could identify who here is a child. If you are primary school or below, that's great. I say, no, over here, children over here, grown-ups over here, wonderful. Now, here's my first question, boys and girls. So I'm going to ask you some questions, and I'm going to ask the grown-ups some questions as well. Have you ever been hungry? Yeah, Martha's been hungry. Hands went straight up. Martha's been hungry. Grown-ups, you know what it's like to be hungry. We've all been hungry. We know that feeling of feeling utterly empty inside. That feeling when our tummy grumbles so loudly that the person sitting next to us can hear it. That feeling of when inanimate objects begin to look like food that we could eat. That kind of hunger. Now, normally, when you're hungry, you just go to the cupboard, don't you, and get someone out of the cupboard, or you go to the supermarket, or you call up the takeaway, and you get yourself some food. But imagine going to the cupboard and pulling out, this is my brother's favourite lunch, the £1 pizza, going to the cupboard, pulling out a pizza, opening up the box, and realising that there's nothing in the box. Or being thirsty and going and getting a bottle of water and realising that the bottle's empty. That would be terrible. It'd be horribly sad. Or phoning up the Chinese takeaway and realising that you've got no reception. Or your battery's flat. There is no food coming. It would be a disaster. It is bad to be hungry, but it is even worse to have no way of dealing with that hunger. Or maybe actually grown-ups, it would be more accurate to say that there's nothing worse than being hungry yourself and also having a whole load of hungry children getting grumpy and then needing to go to the supermarket with said hungry children with them in tow. Well, that's the situation in today's true story from the Bible. 5,000 men plus women and children, so probably closer to 10,000 people, found themselves sitting, listening to Jesus with no food. And what we learn is that Jesus is the King who provides in the here and now. So there's a huge group of people gathering to listen to Jesus in verse 4. And then we realise there are three problems. Three problems. Number one, verse 5, Jesus says there's nowhere to buy bread. There's nowhere to go and buy some food. Problem number two, even if there was a local shop, it would take more than half a year's wage to feed everyone there. And problem number three, the only person in the crowd who appears to have been sensible enough to bring any food with them is a small boy who has brought five small loaves of bread and two small fish. I've brought five small loaves of bread and two small fish with me today. Here's my five small loaves, a couple of baps. And here are my two little fish, two tins of tuna. Right, now that would not be enough to feed this room, let alone 5,000 people. It's a problem. It's obvious that everyone is going to go hungry. But look at what Jesus does. Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. So he fed more than 5,000 people with two small fish and five small loaves. And now that is amazing. And it's amazing because it's true. This is one of those stories in the Bible that if we've been coming to church for a while, we've probably heard a whole load of times before, and we can easily forget that it's a true story and it actually happened. And just, I brought, this is my This is one of my small loaves. We're going to take this as an example, right? This is one of my small loaves. So this would feed 1,000 people, according to this story. One small loaf, 1,000 people. That means there was this much bread for 500 people. And this much bread for 250 people. This much bread for 125 people. This much bread for about 62 people. This much bread for about 31 people. This much bread for 16 people. This much bread for 8 people. This much bread for 4 people. This much bread for 2 people. And this much bread for 1 person. Now, if I gave you this for your lunch, would you feel like you've eaten all you wanted and that you were full up? Now, of course you wouldn't. That is a tiny, minuscule piece of bread. I cannot feed 5,000 people with 5 small loaves. But Jesus can, and he did. He provided for the hungry crowds who gathered to listen to him because he is the king who provides. And he doesn't just provide for people in the here and now. He also provides for people in their future. Just a few verses on from feeding these 5,000 people, Jesus says something remarkable. He says, "I am the bread that gives life. He who comes to me will never be hungry. He who believes me will never be thirsty." See, Jesus is promising that if we come to him, if we recognize who he is and follow him as our king, then he will give us life. And not just life now, but life forever. A life in which we will be perfectly satisfied. A life in which there will be no more hunger pains and grumbling bellies. A life with no more dry mouths desperately panting for water. No more unsatisfied longings or tears without comfort. No more sin and the sting of living in a fallen world. This isn't just life forever. It's the perfect, satisfying life forever. It's the life that dreams are made of. That's what Jesus is offering. So Jesus isn't just the king who provides in the here and now. He is also the king who provides for his people forever. Now this should feel both massively reassuring and particularly relevant for us, shouldn't it? Because regardless of who we are, regardless of how much money we've got or where we live, we all feel needy at some point. And regardless of the size or situation, all churches go through times of feeling stretched and feeling like they're in need. I know you've recently launched your vision for St. Richard's, haven't you? And as you think about that, as you look forward to the next 5 years, remember that you have a king who provides for you. You are not doing it on your own, but with the king who can feed 5,000 people with 5 small loaves and 2 small fish. And as you experience, you know, some flux in the members of the congregation, remember that the flourishing of St. Richard's doesn't depend on us. It depends on our King who provides for us, our flourishing in the here and now, and our flourishing in eternity. And as you strive to be, and I took this from your website, as you strive to be a caring church family of different ages and stages, growing together in love of Jesus and others, well, you do so in the strength of your King who is able to provide for you. Your King who can provide for you practically, here and now, and the King who has provided for your future in eternity. It is a wonderful comfort, both personally and as a church family, to know that we have a King who provides. Let me pray for us, and then I'll hand back to Ben. Father, thank you so much that Jesus is the King who provides. Thank you that he is able to provide practically in the here and now. And thank you that he has provided for us in eternity. Father, we give you great thanks that regardless of who we are, regardless of the situation we find ourselves in, regardless of how we're feeling as a church, that we have a King who provides. Amen. Thank you.